In this interview, I'm joined by Hilmar Smith. She talks about her love of cupcakes, Photoshop, and punishing pixels. This is TWiP. All right, Hilmar Smith, welcome to This Week in Photo. It's been a while. I feel like I've known you forever, but yeah. We're now finally doing a This Week in Photo interview. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Such a pleasure. It has been a long time.
Right? Since we
talked. Yeah.
Yeah. This is crazy. So we're not going to spend all this time catching up because we'd be, you know, we'd be talking for hours and hours, but I want to introduce you to the This Week in Photo audience. So let's start with, you know, with new guests, I like to start with their quote origin story. Like, how did you get started in photography? And why do you keep doing it? Why do you keep punishing yourself with this art form?
I love it, though. Actually, it was never a plan. Like, I really never said that I was going to be a photographer or anything. My ex-husband bought a camera. And it was sitting at home just collecting dust. And I picked it up, and I started just Googling how to use it. I didn't have any idea. And I started playing with it. I went to Kelby training at the time, that now is Kelby One. Mm-hmm. And I started taking classes, and I just fell in love with it. Fell in love with photography, but mostly fell in love with post-processing.
Yeah, and that's what we want. I want to really hammer on that post-processing and what I call pixel punishing. What kind of camera was that your ex-husband?
It's the same camera that I still have, the same one that I shoot with. It's a 5D Mark II.
You still shoot with the same camera?
Yes. So if somebody tells you that gear is a big issue or whatever, of course, I would love to have a new one. But that doesn't mean that you cannot do awesome things with an old camera.
That is fantastic, and that's refreshing, because normally on This Week in Photo, we talk to people, and I even have a show called All About the Gear, and it's generally like, what's the next sensor size, what's the low light, you know, it used to be megapixels and frame rate back in the film days, and now it's refreshing to hear you say that, you know, I just use it, and the work that you create is fantastic. We'll be showing some of that.
Thank you.
And all the work that we're going to be showing and that's embedded in the blog was shot with that same camera?
Yes. It's the only camera that I've ever had.
Wow. And you don't have, you're not lusting after any other cameras right now, like the new Sony or Nikon or anything?
I mean, I want to try them all. And I'm not going to lie, and I'm going to tell you, I don't care about gear. I do care about gear. I want all the toys,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to make the best with what you have.
Yeah. And sometimes it's better, right? I mean, it's so funny. That brings up I knew this guy that was a famous photographer who was sponsored by, I want to say it was Canon or something. And then, he is a famous photographer. So Nikon wooed him away and gave him access to everything, every lens and body that Nikon makes. He basically could pick everything. So he had this whole like wall full of lenses. And I thought that was a detriment. I mean, I thought that was like, you know, you never get a chance to get intimate with any one lens, right?
Yeah.
It's like dating 12 people. It's like, you know.
It might be fun at the beginning, but then.
Yeah, but exhausting in the end. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So let's talk about that. So gear is not a factor. I want to talk about your style a little bit. I want to transition and talk about the kind of stuff that you photograph. And looking at your work, which is beautiful, by the way. It's very illustrative. Right, it looks commercial and illustrative, and it's in very skewing towards fine art. What led you to that style?
Well, you know what? At the beginning, I tried everything. I started taking pictures of people because I'm a people person, mm-hmm. and then you know, I went all around like flowers, landscape, you know,
like everybody else, right?
Everybody does. And then I went back to photographing people, but as I told you before, just taking the picture. I mean, I love planning and shit. I love lighting and everything. But it's when I sit on the computer when I feel the happiest. So it's just, you know, going there and trying new techniques and learning new techniques and then applying them to your work and just trying to find your own style. To me, is just, it takes hours and hours. And sometimes I just like, I need to learn how to do this faster or whatever, but it gives me the results that I'm looking for. which is very colorful, happy, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's what I want to convey. That's what I want to evoke, is just happiness and bright colors and, you know, something that makes you smile whenever you see them.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell people, I think the world looks better with a little bit of clarity and a little bit of saturation added to it. Right? Yes. And if you could shoot it at f1.2 or 1.4, that's even better.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And if you add food to it, like if you look at my pictures, it's funny because I never really thought about it. But now I look at some of my pictures, it's like, there's food everywhere.
Yeah.
Funny.
Well, how do you pick your subjects? Because I notice in a lot of your photos, there's a lot of self-portraiture in there. Yes. So you're lucky enough to be able to be photographed by yourself. A lot of people can't do that. There's a lot of, I think, what is your kids in there as well?
Yes.
Use your
yes.
kids as like built-in indentured servants for your photography.
Well, actually, no. And this is a funny story. Like when I started, you know, everybody started running away from you because you start begging everybody to be in front of your camera.
Yeah.
And that's how I started doing self-portraits, because people were sick and tired of me and I wanted to learn lighting and all of that. And I think that self-portraiture is a great way of expression. It's a great way of learning. And it's a great way of learning how to pose your subjects, because you're going to be torturing yourself to get it right. So you're going to learn the techniques to teach them after to your subjects. But with my kids, it's different. My older son was diagnosed with autism spectrum when he was like 3 years old. And it was about the same time that I started photography. So photography became to me like an outlet. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in the middle of a divorce, my son, and it was just like the way that I just walked away from the drama, and it was just my little me time. Mm-hmm. But my son he was always, you know, looking at me doing all of this, and we started making projects together. Like when I do those images of my kids, it's not me like speaking the theme or telling them what to do. I see it in events with them and I ask them like, what do you want to do? We sketch together. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I'm editing, my son is sitting with me and he tells me like, add this, put this, and you know.
Oh, nice.
So it's a family affair. It's something that we do for fun. And to me, it's special because I'm a single mom. So they see me working all the time. So having them doing this with me is like a way of balancing work and family time. So we enjoy, and I'm working at the same time.
So that's fantastic. I think a lot of people can take away from that, because a lot of people, myself included, look at photography as sort of an isolated kind of thing that you do. You know, like, okay, I'm going to hang out with you guys. Okay, now I'm going to go work on an image. Don't bother me for the next hour or so. And you're incorporating the family into that, so they feel like they're even, when the final image is done and published or online or whatever, they could say they helped with that, right?
Yeah, definitely. And it's funny because I have a 3 years old and I have my gear in my garage, and sometimes I do shoots here in my house and everything. And when I start picking my gear and taking them to my living room, my little girl, you can see her with the light stands and everything, and we're going to take pictures. And recently I was taking this portrait of this 2 years old that is one of my friend's son. And she was actually telling the boy how to pose and what to do. And as I was taking pictures, and I might send you that video because you will love it.
Yes.
As I was taking the pictures of the boy, my daughter was right next to me with her iPad taking pictures of the boy too. So they're so involved and they know the process so much that they love it and they feel part of it. And to me, that's really important, because the reason I became a photographer full-time, it was because it was going to give me the chance to be present in their life and make my own schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Because since I'm a single mom, I just didn't want to have like a 9-to-5 and not be able to go to the school events or, you know, do things together.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's important. No, that's a good segue into you're answering the questions on my list before I even asked them. I love it. I wanted to talk about, is this full time for you, and how did you make the jump from, and it sounds like you made the jump in the midst of all this other crazy stuff going on, like a divorce, and you know, you're caring for your child and you got to keep the roof over the head and the lights on and all that stuff. How do you do that? How do you make the jump? Well, you know, with no net.
Well, I have had happening in my life in the last 6 years more than a lot of people I know have had happening in a lifetime. So to me, I got divorced and everything, and I started like building up my business here in Orlando. Then I fell in love again, and I moved in with this person who is the father of my daughter.
Oh, okay.
And we moved to North Carolina. He was a race car engineer, and he was working for Porsche, and he was one of the team engineers. And we moved over there, so and I got pregnant. And so I had to put aside my photography business for a while because I was in bed rest. It's just like a whole drama.
I love it.
So after I had my daughter, I wasn't doing photography anymore, but I got postpartum depression. So, and it was like so hard. Just I needed to have me time, you know?
Yeah.
Because dealing with my son at school and doing things at home, I needed that time for myself. So with a newborn, I started this 365 self-portrait. It's like,
that is so cool.
It was like the craziest idea ever. But I needed to do something for myself every day, and that's what I picked to do. And it was amazing, and I got out of depression because I was doing something that I love. And most of the pictures that I did from that time, they were funny. And people were, you know, writing me, telling me, like, I made their day because I make them laugh. And I was laughing myself while I was taking those pictures. But the irony, it was that I was depressed.
Yeah, yeah. That's
so
amazing.
So, yeah. So,
no, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Probably I'm gonna answer all of your questions. It's just like, you have to tell me to shut up because
no, this is perfect. This is easy. This will be easy to edit.
So yeah, so fast forwarding like a year and a half, the father of my daughter passed away. So that was when I took the decision, just like, well, what do I wanna do?
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I need to be, you know, in a place where I feel happy, you know? Sure. And my happiness was here back in Orlando in Florida. I love Florida and the crazy rain and the crazy weather and mm-hmm. the tourists and all the craziness. And
giant storms, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's my jam. Just like crazy rain for 15 minutes and then it's sunshine.
Nice, okay.
I love the passion. So I moved back to Florida, and it's a long story that I'm just going to make it short, unless dramatic.
No, this is good.
So I moved back to Florida, and then it was like, how am I going to make a living? Because now I have to support two kids. And I was depressed once again, of course. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I couldn't extend the idea of working for somebody else, doing something that I didn't like. And I knew that I needed to nurture myself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and to me, that was photography. Like the only time that I have felt like that connection with myself and I felt happy and I felt like I was doing something great was doing photography. So I was like, well, I'm going to give myself a year mm-hmm. and I'm going to do everything that I can do just to make this thing happen. And if it doesn't happen in 1 year, like if I don't start just, you know, if I don't start scratching those little goals, I'm just going to have to be miserable and do something that I don't like. And I just never gave up and I started working harder and, you know, things keep coming up. And
that's fantastic. Do you recommend, we did a show, as we record this, the last show, TWIP episode 522, was about depression and, you know, this just sort of those kinds of feelings and thoughts and how prevalent they are in the creative industry. And you seem to have flipped it on its head, right? So you used both for the postpartum and for after the loss of your spouse, you used photography as sort of a light in the tunnel to get through that. Do you recommend that to other people that are?
Definitely. And I think that's why I do mostly a lot of self-portraiture, because mm-hmm. it's that connection that you have with yourself and with your craft.
Yeah.
And if you need to sit there and I send you some pictures like that. And if you need to sit in front of your camera and you feel like crying, you just cry.
Yeah.
And you just put yourself out there and that's the magic. And to me, it was cathartic and it was like the best thing that I could have ever done. Yeah. And I have a series of pictures that are sad. And the people that know my story can understand. Mm-hmm. And there's some other pictures that are happy, but it's just finding that balance and doing what your heart crave. And my heart was craving just, you know, that connection with my craft and expressing myself that way.
Yeah, but how do you get to the point where, and this is a good transition into the social media stuff, because I know you love social media as well. And a leap for a lot of people, myself included, is like, what do you share online? And, you know, some people can open up and share their pain online with others, and then, you know, they get the support in the comments and all that, and some people can't, you know. it's hard to share, like, you know, I think for people that, like me, that were raised in a, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, you know, and then that transmits to online, you only show the good parts that are happening in your world. How are you able to open up and show the negative and the not so happy parts of Hilmar?
Well, this, to me, I've always been a people person, mm-hmm. and I love talking and I love connecting to people. I think that the thing that really opened up that door for me, it was when my son was diagnosed with autism. I didn't know what autism was, mm-hmm. and I didn't know how wide the spectrum was. And I didn't have anybody who could guide me or teach me or anything. So it was very confusing and depressing, and it was just a lot. Yep. So as I started doing these therapies and all of that with my kid, and my kid started improving, I realized that I was just, like, you know, getting so worried and so upset about many things that, you know, were fixable, and it wasn't the end of the world, and it was, like, actually something beautiful that happened to us, because it taught us about life, and it taught me to be a better mom and everything. So I decided to share my story, and that story is in my blog if you look for it. And I did it in a way because I didn't want any parent to feel the pain and to feel so lost the way that I felt.
Yeah.
And it was amazing because I'm not an autism specialist or anything, but I have a lot of experience because I have my, you know, I went to therapies and I deal with schools and I have been an advocate. So because of that blog post, friends that I didn't know that they were going through that contacted me. Strangers started contacting me just to help them out and to guide them. Yeah. And I realized that, you know, these things happen to your life and you have two options. You have to either you cry and whine about it, or you look at things with a perspective. To me, when something bad happened in your life, you have to look at, you know, what did I learn? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. how can I help? And you know, what did I get out of it emotionally? You know, it made me grow. And that's what I share my experiences, because I think that it's important. You know, somebody might be out there just suffering and feeling the same way that I felt. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Just to let them know that it's okay. It's just a matter of perspective, I think.
No, I think that's great. And you hit on, excuse me, you hit on something that is, I think, missing in a lot of photographers, and that is the reason for shooting, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, like we talked about in the beginning of this interview, people have gear lust, and some people, like, you know, they really just want to buy new gear. They want the new lens, they want the new camera, and then it'll sit in the camera bag over in the corner, right, until the next one comes out and they buy it. But a lot of that is, and we talk about this on the show a fair amount, is not attaching a story or a reason to your photography. Like you were saying in the beginning, you know, everyone starts out shooting flowers and they learn long exposures and then some portraiture and then they get compliments and then they go for, you know, but the story aspect in a lot of cases, or the reason why you're shooting this photo in a lot of cases, is missing. How do you suggest people sort of move past the pretty photo stage and into, I'm actually shooting for a reason? In other words, like, should people continue just to take pretty photos of flowers, or should they be trying to transmit some sort of message in their photography, whether it's like you know, like you're sort of using it therapeutically, or should they be expressing their political views through photography or whatever, you know, what do you think?
Well, I think that you have to look inside yourself, you know, if choosing a flower is what's gonna make you happy, is what, you know, make your soul sing happy songs. That's something that you should do. Mm-hmm. Like if you're passionate about a cause, just go ahead and do it and you know, shoot something around that theme and create a concept and collaborate with people mm-hmm. in that cause. You know, it's just like, to me, I'm not doing photography just to get the money. To me, is I'm doing photography just for what I can do to others, and that's what I choose doing. Those like those portraits that I do of my kids, I do of my clients, but I'm not doing them for the parents. I'm doing them for the kid yeah. because I connect with the kid first, and the kid is the one that's gonna tell me how he wants the picture taken and what elements do the kid wants to have added on Photoshop.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's about the kids. So you always have to find that little thing that calls your soul, that makes you feel happy, and that you can give that joy back to people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because that's part of it. That's the, you know, it seems like as you were speaking, I'm thinking about it. It gets simplistic in terms of, for lack of a better word, selfish. You know, if you're just taking pictures for yourself, then by definition, that's selfish, right? You're taking pictures for yourself because they make you happy. And, you know, if anyone else likes them, great. But this is, I like taking pictures of roses, and I'm going to, that's what I do. And then there's the unselfish, where you're taking photos that are for other people for whatever reasons, whether it's, you know, or, and then there's a little bit of both, like because with the depression stuff, it's for you, but it's also helping other people. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that when you're doing something that you really love and you're really passionate about, it reflects, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that we have to be honest with whatever we do and not doing it just because, you know, you want to be this picture amazing or whatever. I think that when you just do it, just for the likes, that is when you lose all the message that you can be sending.
I love it. Well, Himar, let's switch gears to Photoshop and sort of the technique and all this stuff. I know you love Photoshop and you know, you have some sort of abusive relationship with pixels. So
yes. I love to abuse them.
So when you see the world, when you go out, do you see the world as elements that can be later incorporated into a photo? And some photographers see, hey, there's the Golden Gate Bridge. I need to shoot that. And that's the work. Like, how do you see the world?
I mean, I think that my hair goes to different kind of stages. Like, I look, I could never just go to a park and shoot a family under a tree, you know, right. Where light. And I respect the people that do it, but it's not my thing. Yeah, like, you know, I have to, you know, kind of add like a little monster just chasing you guys. And
you want to make a story. You want to make a story.
Yeah, definitely. So to me, is like I was telling you, I do sketch some of my ideas mm-hmm. before.
Oh, you do? And okay.
Yes. To me, it's really important. And I get these crazy ideas from time to time, sometimes in the worst moment in my life, like when I'm taking a shower and I'm like, I need to get out and write it down. Or when I'm driving, you know. But I do write them down and I can
totally see that happening now. You're just like, la, 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 la.
Yeah, and that's how my head works.
Yeah.
So I write it down and I sketch them and I start looking for the elements and, you know, I start getting ideas. But it's in Photoshop when I just start, you know, punishing those pixels.
Yeah. I love it. That's cool. So what's the time? So let's paint a picture. How long from, and I know it's going to vary, right? There's no, it's not like you're baking a cake, but from generally speaking, how long are you in Photoshop? Once you've got the sketch done and you've done the photos and you've got all the raw materials and you're sitting down with your kids, you're in front of the computer.
Yeah.
How long until you're done and you sit back and say, okay, that's ready for the world to see?
Sometimes it takes 2 hours. Sometimes it takes 8 hours.
Wow.
Sometimes it even takes days, you know? And that's the deal. You don't have really a time frame for that, because you can start going. And I was talking about that with my friend Mark Rodriguez. It's just like you start and you're like, oh, I'm on fire. Mm-hmm. And then you stop for a second and it's like, this sucks. And you start just throwing away layers.
Select and all, delete, right?
Yeah. And everybody that I talk about this go through the same process. So
yeah,
I'm not the only crazy one here.
Yeah. Well, what about the hardware that you're using? Are you on a iMac? Are you using a Wacom tablet? Like, what's your setup look like?
I have a Wacom tablet. Mm-hmm. Everything that I have is old, you know.
That's good. It's aged.
If anyone is looking, you know, just watching here, this I'm your girl.
It's good. It's retro.
I know. It's retro. Yeah, right.
I don't know, Hilmar. That mic looks pretty new to me. I'm just saying. Yeah, exactly. That's an inside joke there. We can't tell people. That's fantastic.
I told you I was going to do that.
Uh-huh, I know.
So. Yeah, I have a MacBook. A MacBook Pro, and I think it's from 2012. Let me tell you the story. So you know that I'm like a couple of months ago, he died. And I was like, oh, what am I going to do? You know, I'm a single mother with two kids. Just like, I cannot do this right now.
Right.
So I just did my research, got a new battery, got a new hard drive and changing myself, and here we are talking on my
MacBook. Wow. See, that just goes to show that it's not gear, right? It's not the camera. Because people will have seen the images that you shoot, you know, on this post, but that your stuff rivals 99% of the other stuff that's out there with people with unlimited budgets and the biggest machine and multiple displays and giant Wacom tablets with the screen in them and all that stuff. And here you are with a 2012 MacBook Pro refurbished. You know,
yeah, by me.
By you.
Thank you, YouTube.
Wow.
I did the whole thing, yeah. Yeah, I have a McDonald's budget with a caviar taste.
Yeah, welcome to the club. It's called being human, you know. Sorry. All right. You're not alone. Trust me, you're not alone. Well, cool. Well, awesome. This is great. This has been a great interview. I wanna wrap this up with a couple of things. I was looking on your bio, and okay. I noticed that you you wrote on there that you're a cupcake lover. What does that mean? You're going to have to come out of the closet on the cupcake stuff.
I'm
what does that
punished mean? Because I love cupcakes. Mm-hmm. I'm not a good baker, though. So
it's kind of contrary.
Like burn cupcakes and, you know.
You like purchasing cupcakes. That's what you're saying. Yes, purchasing and eating them.
Yeah, there is actually this place here in Orlando that is called Sweet by Holly. And she have won the cupcake war like 3 or 4 times. So that's my favorite place. Their cupcakes are amazing. But I used to buy them all the time. But my daughter has all kind of food allergies.
Oh, so you can't.
So I cannot do that anymore.
That's how the universe works right there. You know, that's it right there.
It's a good diet, though.
I know. So what's your, this has nothing to do with photography, but what's your favorite kind of cupcake? Is it chocolate? Is it vanilla? Is it strawberry? Like what? Or just anything in this form of a cupcake?
No, they have like every single kind, and I can just not tell you which one is my favorite because I shove my face with all of them.
That needs to be a photo right there.
I know, right?
That
I
needs
do it
to be
for a... you. I tag you.
Please, I want to see that photo.
That right. place is like 40 minutes away from my house, and I don't think the cupcake box make it back home.
Really?
It's just like while I'm driving. It's just, yeah, I know.
Okay, people that are watching this that live in Orlando are going to want to know. What's the name of that place again?
Sweet by Holly.
Sweet by Holly?
Holly, yes.
Sweet by Holly. Okay, we're going to link to them.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's wrap this up. We mentioned Kelby and Kelby One and, you know, formerly Kelby Training, and you were just on the grid. You've been on the grid before. How does that relationship work? Like, what are you doing for the Kelby folks, and how are you able to get on the grid? That's amazing.
Well, that's funny because that's how I started. That's where I learned everything that I know. And I've been lucky to have a great relationship with all of them. Like, I go to that office and everybody there is just like, I love them. And last Photoshop World, that it was about 3 weeks ago, they called me and they invited me to be part of the team and design for them a photo bay on the expo floor. So cool. It was an amazing experience. I got to design the whole set and I partnered with this prop company and I put up this super awesome 50s gas station, like Route 66. It was fantastic. So that was one of the reasons why I was there 2 days ago. Yeah.
Wow. That's great. Congratulations on all your success. And
thank you.
You know, it's so interesting looking at your work. You know, it's refreshing because it's different than everyone else's work. And I'm a fan because it speaks to what I've been preaching, and that's the tell stories with photography instead of just taking shots and putting them out there. The last thing I want to touch on before we leave is the social media aspect of what you do, right? I know you like social media, you're prevalent on Facebook, et cetera. How important is that to you? In other words, would Hilmar Smith be who she is today without social media, and why?
No, it goes to different things. I'm a people person. I need to have the people connection. I'm a cheerleader. Like my friend, I'm the first person there cheerleading for everyone and, you know, checking on everybody. So it's that connection, you know, everybody has a life and everybody's doing something. So you need to keep in touch. Yeah. It's really important for me for a connection. Another thing that I'm gonna tell you, when my spouse passed away 2 years ago, all these people that I have met in social media were my biggest support.
Oh, wow.
They were checking on me all the time. They even did a GoFundMe. I mean, they sent, like, I don't know if you remember in Google Plus, my hamburger hat.
Yes.
Yeah, so I made that thing and it became like, you know, Hilmar thing, the hamburger hat. And there was a day, like about a month after Laurent passed away. One night I was sitting in my house and I started getting like 1,000 of notifications. Well, it turns out they cut out the hat and everybody that I knew took a portrait and photoshopped the hat on it. And it was like the best thing ever and it cheered me up. And it's people that I just met through social media that helped me so much to, you know, to go through depression, to get out of it. And not only that, they support me and they encourage me to go and follow my dreams. So social media to me is not just going out there and putting up my work and waiting for people to like it. It's just like more about the human connection.
And it's like a support system. But yes. For the people that are out there that are looking and suffering from, let's call it overwhelm, with all the options out there from Pinterest to Google Plus to, you know, what's Flickr gonna do to Facebook to Instagram, Snapchat, on and on and on. How do you manage that? When you say social media, like you're using social media as a blanket term, what does that mean for you? Does that mean Facebook and Twitter? Does it mean everything? Like, what does that mean?
I think that, well, this is how I do it. I post my picture on Instagram and it goes out to Twitter and it goes out to Facebook. I do have connection with everybody. I do reply to messages and I do talk to everybody. I don't go to Twitter a whole lot because things tend to get a little tense there. And yes. I don't watch the news. I just decide to leave my yeah. Yeah. To decide to live a happy life and I get dragged into the depressed side of things too easily. So I just make the right choices that are well for myself.
So you're using Instagram, your Instagram sort of feeds all the other services. But you're on Facebook too though, right?
Of course. I'm everywhere.
Yeah, so but your primary is Instagram, Facebook, and because you and I chat on Facebook.
Instagram and Facebook are my primary, and I do a lot of Instagram stories that I love. And, you know, the good thing is that when you do an Instagram story, if you have the right setting, it gets sent as a Facebook story too.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh.
Yeah, there is like a little, like if you go on the settings and it says stories and you can just click and it send it to Facebook too. So you're feeding both of those worlds there. And I love the stories. I love taking everybody, you know, on my daily adventures.
Okay, tell the old people what an Instagram story is and what a Facebook story is. Not saying I don't know, I'm just saying, you know, what is it?
Yeah, it's just a little 15 seconds video that you can just make just to a little update of what you're doing, what you're, you know, what you're up to or whatever is happening.
Give me an example of an Instagram, like what you might post today.
Well, I might post that, you know, I just talk to you and, you know, that people can go and check it out on your Facebook page. Or, you know, sometimes I wake up and I just make like little time lapses of me getting out of the bed, brushing my teeth, doing my hair, drinking coffee. And then I just send it out there. And it's just like giving a little snippet of you know, what I'm doing in
your world. Yeah.
People love it. Yeah.
And
yeah,
how do people learn that? Hilmar, how do people learn how to do that, right? I mean, what's the best way to, there's obviously a million different ways that you can approach this stuff. Yeah. But in your opinion, if someone's watching this or listening to it and they're like, you know what, I know that I need to be more prevalent in social media and more active in it, but, you know, I watch the news, so I'm scared of privacy. Some people are mean on social media. I don't want to get bullied. You know, I don't want to say the wrong thing, you know, and I don't know which platforms that are right. So, you know what? I'm just not going to do anything. So what would you say? What would you say to that person that's listening to this? Like, you know what? I can't figure it out and it's too dangerous. So I'm just going to sit on the sidelines for a while.
I mean, if you like it, fine, go ahead and do it. But I wouldn't tell anybody that doesn't like social media just to go and do it for the sake of it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love sharing my life. Obviously, I have the private life part of my life that I don't share.
Yeah.
But just what do you like? I mean, do you like going out and drinking coffee? Just take a little picture of the place where you're drinking coffee or the story, you know, where you're going and what kind of coffee you're drinking. It's just like finding that little thing that you like that you want to share with your audience.
I love it. See, that's cool. See, and you found that flow and that rhythm for all the stuff that you do. But just so people understand the gravity of this, you are shooting, you're doing amazing work, you're working as a full-time photographer, a single mom with multiple kids, holding down the household while still managing to be very active on social media throughout all this stuff, and you do it
every single day. I was in the hospital a couple of weeks ago because I was so stressed out. Yeah. And you know, it's something that I have to learn because I'm the kind of person that you go big or you go home. So I put like a lot of stress on me, and with my kids the same. I feel like since there is not like a good cop and a bad cop, I feel all that pressure of doing everything myself.
Yeah.
And you know, you just have to find balance. For me, it's super funny because, and I might send that video to you too, but I make this stories for Instagram, and it's just me editing, and I edit with my daughter, with my 3-year-old daughter sitting on my lap.
Wow, send me that. And I want to see that.
Yeah. And you know, it's just a way to tell people like, well, if you want to do something and if you really, you know, love doing something, there's a way.
Yeah, you'll find a way. Yeah, the excuse of, oh, I just don't have the time or I'm tired or whatever, those are generally, everyone's busy, right? And it's just what your multitasking skills are like and what your will is to do something. Because you can always find an excuse why you shouldn't do something, you know, or you could go big or go home, like you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Like that microphone right there. I mean, you know. I had to do it. I got to say, your microphone is much more impressive than mine. I'm just saying.
I know. You may have to do something about that.
I got microphone envy. I don't know. I may have to edit this down. Well, Hilmar, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. You're a breath of fresh air in many ways, you know, talking to you. Where should people go to connect with you and follow your work and see the stuff that you're working on?
Instagram at Hilmar Smith. Hilmar with a G.
There you go. You know I was going to say that, right?
It's, yeah, and my website.
Spell it for us. Spell it for us.
G-I-L-M-A-R, okay. Smith. Everybody know how to spell Smith.
Yeah, no, yeah, with an I, not a Y, right?
Yeah, right.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Any other things you want to leave with the TWIP audience before we end this?
No, I mean, I think that I made a fool of myself already.
No, you're fantastic. You're fantastic. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll be in touch on social media.
Of course. Thank you for having me. Okay.
See you later.
This is TWIP.